dream of a girl and a steering wheel, steamboat, a pilot house, stove, and engine room brass. Hanging on the post by the main deck stair with a long hair skipping in the Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi has had a wild 12 months. This time last year, the river was at flood level. These days, it's near historic lows. From Illinois southward, the low water levels are affecting commerce, tourism, and just everyday life. The biggest impact may be on shipping.
I'm Larry Daly. I'm president of Alter Logistics in Bettendorf, Iowa, right where Interstate 80 crosses the Mississippi River. We're a logistics company that works with a metal recycling company and a grain company that has been in business since 1898. And we pretty much specialize in stuff between St. Paul and New Orleans along the Mississippi River, although we also do shipping on the other major rivers in the country, the Ohio, the Tennessee, the Arkansas. In our area, we are part of what's called a locking river above St. Louis, Missouri, and all the way up to St. Paul, Minneapolis. There's a series of 27 locks and dams that hold the water back to provide a 9-foot channel for shipping. Right now in our area, we're about a foot away from the lowest water we've ever recorded, but we're only about 5 feet lower than what is normal at this time. But the big problems begin when you get down below St. Louis, where there are no locks and dams to control the river, and we are in dire straits in some places, around the Memphis, Tennessee area and around the Greenville, Mississippi area. We're having delays while the Corps of Engineers uses their dredges to dig out new channels because the river down there is reaching record lows. And it's a sharp contrast to the record highs we had last year. At certain places on the lower Mississippi River, there's 50 feet of difference between the high water we had in 2011 and the low water we're experiencing right now. It's causing delays with boats having to wait for the channel to be cleared. Smaller tow sizes is affecting the profitability of companies. We're having to light load barges where normally in that part of the river you could load 12 feet deep. Now we're loading 9 feet or less. And every inch is about 17 tons in a normal barge. So 36 inches is a whole lot of cargo being left behind that takes either other barges to carry it or it has to be put on trains or trucks to be transported.
That's Larry Daly. He's with Alter Logistics in Bettendorf, Iowa. And what happens if you're in Kentucky and want to go to Missouri, but there's that muddy Mississippi River between them and no nearby bridge? You can put your car on a ferry that will get you there. This summer, though, that ferry's had some challenges.
Hi, I'm Tammy Hutchison, the Executive Director of the Mississippi County Port Authority. We own and operate the Dorena-Hickman Ferry. It connects Dorena, Missouri to Hickman, Kentucky. It's the only route that connects the two states. Otherwise, they have to go through other states to get from one to the other, even though they are next door to each other. This year, we've seen record low levels of the Mississippi River. We were shut down on June 23rd because of low water. We were unable to get out of the Hickman Harbor on the Kentucky side until the harbor was dredged. The dredge moved in about 2 weeks ago. We were able to start running about 4 or 5 days ago. It's been very, very abnormally low water levels this year, and we hope to see a little more water because it's really a hardship on everyone to cross from one side of the river to the other at this point. You have to go 75 miles and about an hour and a half extra out of your way to get from Missouri to Kentucky. Right now, the water is so low, there are sandbars all over the river, and it really looks like at points, I'm sure you could possibly walk out to a point and swim across, but we've run out of concrete ramp on the Missouri side. We're having to add rock at the bottom so that we have a place to land and for the vehicles to be able to get onto the ferry. The Kentucky side, we have asphalt, and they keep adding just a little bit of asphalt as the water level drops so that we have land over there that we don't have to land in the mud. We can land on something solid.
Well, I sure do love the Tennessee River, the Ohio, and the Illinois. And I love the old Mississippi River. It's a good old place for a boy just to step on board a steamboat, ride all the way to the sea, Where else but a muddy old river would a person want to be? Would a person want to be?
Where better to close our look at the Mississippi River than in the town where one of the most famous riverboat pilots in the world grew up? Maybe you've heard of him.
I'm Cindy Lovell, the executive director of the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum in Hannibal, Missouri. With the river here in Hannibal, of course, it's instrumental in our tourism industry. Of course, Mark Twain is as well. Anyone who's read Life on the Mississippi or Adventures of Huckleberry Finn know that the Mississippi River is a main character in Twain's writing. When I speak to school children today, I always tell them to be a riverboat pilot in those days. A steamboatman was just like being a shuttle astronaut. You had to be licensed by Congress to be a steamboat pilot. It was a very big deal, and there wasn't a boy in any river town that didn't want to grow up to be a riverboat pilot, and Sam kept an eye on that river. I mean, everything came by river. People, commerce, communication, you know, mail. He saw all kinds of goods loaded and unloaded as freight here in Hannibal, including human lives, men and women who were enslaved and going down the river. He once encountered slaves here in Hannibal chained and waiting, and he said it was the saddest group of faces he'd ever seen, and I can only imagine those indelible images stayed with him, and of course later influenced Huckleberry Finn, his greatest work, and of course Life on the Mississippi, which is just a hymn to the river. So the river was just a constant on his horizon. When he woke up here in Hannibal in his boyhood home, from his bedroom window, you can look out and see the river. So from the moment he got out of bed in the morning, he had his eye on that river. And, of course, going on to become a riverboat pilot, he was licensed by Congress in 1859 and piloted for 2 years. His run took him from St. Louis to New Orleans, back and forth there. His younger brother, Henry, was killed in a steamboat explosion. He was a mud clerk on a boat, and he died on the Pennsylvania when she blew down in Memphis, Tennessee. So it was a big deal for Sam to grow up and become this steamboatman. But the Civil War broke out in 61, and that ended his career. He went west after that, and the rest, as we say, is history. He went out there and became Mark Twain, and now everybody knows who he is.
That's Cindy Lovell, executive director of the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum in Hannibal, Missouri. Thanks to Cindy and the others we heard from along the way, as well as the late, great John Hartford, our musical pilot on our river cruise.
Oh, the whistle came out, such a deep, mellow sound in the night. And the echo came back from a shoreline of twinkling lights. There was nothing we really could say. The river had swept us away. Like a present hereafter, the warm sound of laughter as we danced to the Delta Queen Waltz.
Before we go today, a big welcome to WDDE in Dover, Delaware, the newest member of the Here and Now family of listeners. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Robin Young returns on Monday. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
As the big wheel keeps rolling, I find myself holding you near. With the nighttime unfolding, I'm lucky just having you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.